Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to The Real Estate Report, the podcast you can trust with valuable information and tech tools you can apply to the real estate game. And now your host, August Alexander.
Hello and welcome to The Real Estate Report. I'm August Alexander. I'm joined with Jackie Polisi and Ben Mozzarella
and Sven Muhlenberg.
This is going to be a great show because we have so many outstanding things for you guys today. Today, our show is sponsored by OpenSpace. It's a great application for real estate. If you get an opportunity, go to OpenSpace on wherever you get your local applications and download it at my OpenSpace app. We've got a great show for you. Sven's got some pocket listings. What are you going to cover?
I do. Thanks, August. There was a surge in forbearances last week. The housing market snapped an unlikely 9-week winning streak. Families that are fleeing cities are pushing up suburban home prices. Larger homes are making a comeback in the U.S. And real estate investors are bullish.
I thought that was short for another word. Well, Jackie's got what's moving you this week. Jackie, what moves you this week?
Well, what moves all of us? It's a question. To relocate or to renovate? Two questions, especially during this time when we're looking at our home and thinking, should I tear out those kitchen cabinets and start all over, or should we just buy a new home? Kind of a poignant question, but lots of things to consider. So we're going to talk about those pros and cons coming up.
Outstanding. And we're going to have in this week's version of the Real Estate Report, and we're going to get this thing moving right now with the pocket listings from Sven Mozzarella.
There was a surge in forbearances last week. After 3 weeks of declining totals, Black Knight says the number of active COVID-19 forbearance homes shot up last week. As of June 23rd, there were 4.7 million homeowners in forbearance. That turned around a decline, which we've seen since May 22nd. As of right now, 8.8% of active mortgages are in forbearance, and that is about $1 trillion. And one thing a lot of people probably aren't thinking about as they go about their lives through COVID is that servicers of these loans are required to make principal and interest payments to investors and taxes and insurance premiums even when the homeowners are not paying their mortgage. Right now, that's almost $5 billion a month. The housing market snaps an unlikely 9-week winning streak. Purchase activity fell off a cliff in March and April, as we all know, because of COVID. But then the freefall stopped. For 9 consecutive weeks now, mortgage applications have actually surpassed their volume from the week prior. And this is a very closely watched indicator of housing demand. But mortgage applications is not terrible. Mortgage application volume is still higher than most people would have anticipated at this point. This fall might indicate that all of the pent-up demand and low rates that drove the surge in mortgage applications has been exhausted or reaching a tipping point of some kind. This demand, however, is clashing with tight supply of new and existing homes on the market. To make matters worse for buyers, new home construction, especially in lower price tiers, has never really recovered from the issues in 08. This short supply may prevent millennials from buying their first home. A Bloomberg opinion columnist named Noah Smith wrote, "A large fraction of millennials are thus on track to be a sad and lost generation. Too old for the young, rebellious, independent bohemian life, but too poor and indebted to move to the suburbs and start families."
That's a downer.
That is a downer. You really want to invite that guy to your next cocktail party. Yeah, just start talking to him and see how he brings us down.
Yeah. Maybe he's better with cocktails.
Maybe. Families that are fleeing the city are pushing up suburban home prices. Cash-flush buyers are fleeing cities, and they're actually competing for homes right now. Home sales were down through May by like 27%, but it looks like that's turning around. Home views of suburban listings on Realtor.com grew 13% in May. That was not the case for urban areas. That was much slower. I have an example of a homeowner outside of New York City who worked around COVID. They actually listed their house right before the COVID outbreak just shut everything down, and they thought that they weren't going to be able to sell their house. But then they came across an opportunity of a service that creates virtual tours. They paid $1,000 to get a virtual tour, and as soon as they published it, they started getting hits and they started getting offers.
Right.
Most homes in the suburbs that paid for such tours are getting multiple offers, even with people not visiting the house.
Yeah, it's a virtual generation.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. This isn't confined to suburbs outside of New York City and other early coronavirus hotspots. A seller in Dallas listed their home on a Thursday at 5 p.m. and they had an above asking price offer on their home by noon on Saturday. This feels to me like a seismic shift in consumer behavior for home buying, because a year ago, not very many people would be willing to buy a house without visiting it. But think about like your life before Amazon. Now people buy almost everything without touching it and feeling it and seeing it first. The Amazon effect. Another thing that's happening because of this flight from the cities is it's causing rents to fall. So people who have kept their jobs and aren't fleeing will probably benefit if they decide to stay. Apartment listing platform Zumper found that rents in the 10 most expensive cities in the US either fell or were flat in June. It's really a tale of two cities. Households with one or two incomes that can work from home are secure and their home values are growing. However, low single family home inventory along with tightening of credit threatens to lock lower income families out of the market. Larger homes in the US are making a comeback. It's a great time to sell if you want to downsize. If you've been sitting on a large house and you haven't been able to unload it, there's going to be a lot more interest now. The trend towards less is more has been flipped by months under lockdown. This forced lockdown has created a lockdown boomerang, and that's changed the direction of the real estate market from smaller to bigger. Buyers in every market are eyeing extra space. They need, not just want, they need extra rooms for multiple home offices, a home gym, classroom space, media room, and this is obviously driving up the required footprint size for the house. So large properties that might have languished on the market in recent years are seeing a spike in interest. However, some of those homeowners who've been trying to unload their house are now reconsidering. They want to stay because they recognize that you need all this extra space after pandemic. What's really popular are houses called jewel box mansions. They're smaller than a McMansion. Like the McMansions that were popular years ago, this is like a new trend that people come in, and even though they have the money to get the size and the land for a McMansion, they're spending a little bit less on the house, so they can use that extra money to really make their house a very smart house, a smarter house that's big enough for them. Words matter, however. There's got to be a psychology to this, but the word mansion on its own is being avoided in listings, in ads for very large houses.
Just big home. It's a great big home.
Yeah, I mean, they might say jewel box mansion, they might say McMansion, but they're not saying just mansion, because I guess it's just not on trend right now.
Yeah, compound. You could have everybody, hey, I did that story last week where everybody's living under one roof. Mm-hmm. Those are bigger footprint houses.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, that is great.
The last story for today is real estate investors are bullish, and let's hope that they are right. A story in Realtor magazine says that a majority of real estate investors in the U.S. are optimistic about the strength of the housing market going forward. The survey included house flippers, landlords of rental homes, and real estate investment mortgage brokers, among others. 80% say that they believe the impact of the pandemic on their business will be short. 42% of them say that they expect the pandemic to influence their businesses for less than 6 months. 12% of them actually say that it won't impact them at all. This optimism is based on several factors, but two big ones are the fact that more Americans are working from home, so they will want more space. They need a bigger home. Many investors are also looking for smaller projects and easy flips to take advantage of the sudden rise in buyer demand.
Up next, we have Jackie with her segment.
So what moves you?
What moves you?
Well, what moves you may be a move in your future. You've had some time to think about it, right? You've mulled it over, and now it's time for a move. Time to pack up those kids, pack up the dog, and get out of Dodge. Maybe you're moving to another city, another state, or another country, but it's time to move. Maybe it's a job transfer. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe you just want to be closer to your family. Well, a move can be exciting, but it can also be a challenge, but it doesn't have to be. In our pocket listings today, we were talking about virtual tours and how you can learn all that you need to know about a new home, a new city, a new state, all virtually in the palm of your hand or just from your PC. So with today's technology at the helm, you can take advantage of online tools, not only to help you relocate, but to navigate the decisions that go into moving, to help with detailed searches, and also to keep you organized. Also to figure out how much you can actually afford. There are so many online tools that can help you throughout the entire process that it doesn't have to be a tangible thing where you're going to visit a home anymore, which is kind of interesting how this has forced us to make this change and be proactive and do some of this research on our own. Now, there are loads of apps and software out there that can help you make this mundane task a lot easier and make it pretty minor. And so you can take advantage of property sites such as Realtor.com, Zillow, Trulia. Maybe you've heard about a couple of those. There's tons of them out there.
Open Space.
Open Space is another one. It's a great one to look at. So there are places out there that you can go, and they're set up to really simplify the search and provide more details about the home and the whole process in getting you to where you need to be and everything in between. Now, one caveat is you certainly want to try to avoid sites such as Craigslist or other social media postings that can probably, you know, you don't want to be a victim of a potential home scam. So avoid those sites unless it's really somebody that you know, and stick to those ones that have been well established. YouTube is a great resource. As we're all finding, YouTube is a great resource for so many things, but for home buying, it's become really one of the biggest ones, because most real estate agents and agencies are creating videos to showcase homes, whether it's a McMansion, a jewel box, or an apartment. Whether you want to rent or buy, it's being showcased online. You can browse photos, you can connect with agents, you can check out all the little unique nuances of a home that make it desirable to you. So even people looking to sell their home without a real estate agent will create their own YouTube video about the home that's for sale. Just like you would go find a VRBO or a bed and breakfast, you can see everything that you want to see, and sometimes you're pleasantly surprised when you get there because it's better than you thought, and sometimes you're like, whoa, didn't quite translate in video. Regardless, there's a great way to find out what you need by searching the web. So YouTube is another great one. And so not only on YouTube can you find the home you're looking for, but there are those resources that I was talking about that can help you with that move or that relocation. So financing options. There are people out there who are promoting their marketing how to set yourself up financially and the financial options that are available to you. The market trends. You want to know what's happening? Is it a buyer's market? Is it a seller's market? You can find out that information. There's lots of news sources on YouTube related to the real estate industry. So what to look for when you're buying a new home? Some of the pros and cons of renting versus buying. All kinds of people like to talk about things like that. Determining how much you can afford. Also, resources on YouTube and the best time to buy. So when you're looking for news, tidbits, or just the home searches, you can find them online. The home buying process from A to Z can be found there. And we're all using the internet now to search out every little thing that we want. So why not buy a home virtually?
Yeah.
Using technology can help you navigate a move, whether it's in-state or out-state, and out-of-state, and can provide you the tools that you need to get there. Now, keep in mind, it's a great big world out there. And if you've used the internet and you've used these apps to find your next home, it may not be your last home. So if you've gotten there and you figured out, you know what, it's not everything that I thought it was going to be, you figured out how to navigate this process, and you could start all over again to find that place and really now know what you need to look for in these virtual tours, or ask the questions of the agents online. But the point is, use these resources that are available to us. They're so easy now, and you might even find something that you wouldn't have found otherwise.
And you can actually have enough confidence to make an offer on a house without going to see it.
Absolutely.
You're not locked in. There might be some issues with the house that you don't know yet, but there's the whole inspection process that protects you.
Yeah. We were talking about the Amazon effect, right? Yeah. We used to buy things because it was tangible and we could touch it and feel it. We had to go to the mall, and really it was that peck and hunt. It was the thrill of the hunt, right? When you found it, you couldn't live without it, you got it. Now we're getting more savvy about what we're looking for online and using technology as a tool to our advantage, and being able to navigate all of those nuances that I was talking about that allow you to see the good versus the ones that are not so good and be able to find something in between.
I mean, it's learned user behavior. Amazon, other platforms like that have now made us very dependent on our technology, right? You see, you know, children at a very young age, they're using those things and going around. But really, so much of the way that Amazon has really created a new consumer behavior.
Yeah.
We know that if we need to buy something, if we have time to wait for it, even now with Prime, you're getting it within 24 hours, your behavior now is lending towards the next most simpler thing, right? So you think about it in the context of, you know, when you went from just stovetop to a microwave, Mm-hmm. It created a new user behavior, mm-hmm. which created new user buying habits, which were TV dinners, etc., that you can just put into the microwave, get them out quick, and move on. Our attention span is designed to work that way with the Instagram, Twitters, etc. Mm-hmm. 120 characters, 60 seconds of a posting inside of an Instagram. All of those things lend towards the next logical progression, which is being able to buy, lease, or fix any of your real estate needs, finding those online and being able to transact that way.
Certainly. And it's not a fad. It's not a trend. This is something that has started. It's gaining momentum, and it's going to be our future. It's what we're going to use as a tool. And you may end up in a place that you never thought you would because of that online resource being able to showcase something a little more than just a home with a white picket fence.
As always, JP is the best at giving us the stories that we need that help the two of us seem much smarter than we are.
Hey, it's what moves me, so I'm sure it's what moves you, right?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Well done, as always, Jackie P. Thank you so much, Jackie.
Welcome.
You're always awesome. Appreciate that guy, not so sure about.
No, not yet.
So we're all living in this time frame right now. We're dealing with a forced normal. We're dealing with this forced quarantine situation. And I think that it's really important that we use the platforms that we have to be able to educate, empower, and enlighten whenever we can. So I'm going to give you guys just a couple of things. I don't want to get too far into it, but I'm going to give you a couple of little morsels, baby birds I'm going to feed you. All right. So here's what I've got for you. Let's take it from the top. How do you stay safe? The best way to stay safe is by covering the three most important areas that transmit disease, bacteria, and viruses. Hands, feet, and face. Where it all starts. Face. Making sure that your face is covered properly, that you're maintaining a social distance. Those are very important. You see a lot of people out in the street that wear their masks improperly. And definitely don't lick the handle in the shopping cart. Don't put that in your mouth. I see people do that. Mostly kids. They're still doing it now. So keep the face covered properly. Hands, feet, and face. Hands. One of the things that is a horrible misconception that people have is that hand sanitizer is a gift that keeps on giving endlessly. It is not. Hand sanitizer works for about 7 to 10 seconds in your hand. And it's designed for you to use in the place of having an opportunity to wash your hands. So you're using the alcohol to kill any virus or bacteria that are on your hands. But as soon as you touch that table again, or you touch the wall, or you touch Steve, any of those things happen, your hands are dirty again. You have to make sure that you're being very cautious of what you think is safe after you've used hand sanitizer. Lastly, your feet, right? Bacteria and viruses need hosts to travel. And I think so many times we forget that when we go into a bathroom to wash our hands when we're at a restaurant, we take whatever is on the floor in the bathroom back with us. And then we put that into our car, and then we take that back to our home. And even if you take your shoes off, once you're inside of your home, you've now brought that or introduced any bacteria or viruses to your home. You've got to get these areas covered and under control, and I'm going to give you solutions for feet, hands, and face. Mm-hmm. And that has everything to do with how we sell houses.
The COVID first century.
I really hope they do a super cool sound effect. Things shake. So as a realtor, as a home seller, as a home buyer, you're taking contaminants from outside, from another place, into a person's home. When you still do open houses, mm-hmm. when you are taking the opportunity to tour a house that is not your own or even your own, you are either introducing those bacteria from a person into your home, or you are taking your bacteria into their home. And so this is not an infomercial. There's some great products out there that we would definitely recommend. And I think that one of the places that you can start is with GSTI BioDefense. They've got some great solutions for, again, hands, feet, and face. While you're selling a home, make sure that you're maintaining social distancing. Make sure that you're using cleaning solutions for people to step into when they come in. They sell mats that are disinfectant mats. You can step onto a disinfectant mat, clean off the bottom of your shoes, and then step onto a dry mat. And you think, well, if I don't touch the bottom of my shoes, they're still your shoes. And still, in your car, you rub your feet or whatever the case may be, your entire shoe is filthy, right? If you were able to test it, you would see it's insane how crazy and how much bacteria, etc., is on your shoes. Hands, feet, and face. When you are going to tour a home, booties are great. If you do put the booties onto your shoes, make sure after that you are provided a hand sanitizer to clean your hands. right? And now you've made both surfaces clean again, and you can continue to move forward. Make sure, again, also that your face is covered at all times while you're inside of the home. Not introducing any new particulates, bacteria, viruses into that area. Lastly, what is also super important when you are touring homes, in between different persons coming inside, make sure that you clean. So coming up next, we have Michael Carter from the Carter Law Group, who is going to talk to us about a great cause, attorneys and educators for racial and social justice. There is only one Real Estate Report, and there is only one August Alexander, and there happens to be two Michael Carters. And we have one of them on this show today.
Who's the other one?
I'm not sure.
He played nose tackle for the San Francisco 49ers.
There you go. That's the guy who's not here. I wore the colors and everything just because I thought it was going to happen. But that's not the one who showed up.
No. Michael Carter. I'm an attorney, a criminal defense attorney out here in Aurora. Thought I'd come out and have a conversation with that. August.
All right. Well, there you have it. Now, attorneys and educators for the civil rights of kids.
Attorneys and educators for racial and social justice. It's basically an organization we put together. I don't know if you guys have been out here in Aurora. A lot of stuff has been going on. As a matter of fact, they're starting to decide how they want to have schools restarted and getting these kids back into school. Part of the job of a state is to educate your children. And, you know, we're trying to figure out how we're going to do that. One, safely. And two, to a point where we can help these kids instead of putting them in a situation where they're not going to be successful. What's the point of putting a child in a classroom where you know they're not going to be successful? And how do we find those kids, help them, and make sure they're successful? Because, God, look, at a certain point, these kids are going to be running the country. They're going to be out there voting. They're going to be out there driving. They're going to be out there doing whatever. And you got to talk to them. You got to educate them. You got to teach them to be citizens. And that's part of what we're doing.
Well, you know, in fact, when you start talking about citizens, you know, in Rome, you are not a Roman citizen unless you meet certain criteria.
Right.
Right? So I think citizenship is, that's an interesting thought process there. That's one thing to consider. And the second thing I do want to, and I just want to provoke something a little bit.
All right, go for it, man.
I'm interested in your opinion.
Go for it.
Is it wrong, right, for the perception of people to be, if your mother's got 9 earrings and your father's not home and your mother's hair is purple and she looks like she came in from the club and that is the reason why you were out all night and then involved in a shooting, is it okay to stop saying that we're perpetuating a stereotype and possibly creating connections to the problem, that it's not just a kid problem, that we might need to start educating the adults?
Right. Two things. Yes, you know, you get out what you put into children. And if that child grows up and has children and becomes the mother or the father, you're only going to get out what you put into them. And if there is no accountability, if you haven't educated them, if you haven't taught them some sense of self-worth, what kind of children do you think they're going to raise? So at a certain point, you know, I'm not, you know, once you become an adult, you're an adult. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life and how you want to lead your life. But I know we can help the kids, and I know we can put a sense of responsibility into those children.
Can you really help the kids when you have public events, you know, meeting with city council or whatever, and you're in there talking about the problem of trying to help the kids, et cetera, and there's no kids there? I've seen multiple events on the news where they're showing up to these things and they got all the people in there yelling and carrying on about what the problems are, but there's no kids there.
One of the 10-point agendas that we have with the attorneys and educators for racial and social justice is it's called citizen students. And one of the things that Aurora's trying to do is citizen court. It's bringing these kids out, and you get judged not by grown-ups, you get judged by your peers, you get judged by other middle schoolers, other high schoolers. And I think, you know, that kind of, one, when you were a child, you had to do what your father told you. There was the hammer, right?
Yeah.
You had to do what your mother told you because she was going to tell you, there's the hammer.
Yeah.
The reality is, who did you listen to more? Your peers, your friends. You ran with a group of people who accepted you based on what you did. if we can get those kids to be accountable to their peers, then we won't have to worry about them because we won't be in the picture. We won't be a part of the problem. And the other thing I was going to say was, I don't know if you know this, I spent, I think I'm about third or fourth generation soldier. So when we start talking about Rome and what it meant to become a citizen, there should be some type of service to become a citizen. That's not the rule. That's not the law. That's how it is. Because at a certain point, you reach 18 years old and you are a citizen, period, boom. You have all the rights that everybody else has. But if you haven't been taught anything and you have no connection, what's the point?
Boom, that's it right there. The solution, the mic drop, citizenship. I think that it is not overrated and I think it's something that we should consider. And Michael Carter definitely endorses it and he has a bumper sticker on his car that says so. Well, I thank you, as always, for joining me inside of the Real Estate Report. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, if you want to email or Instagram Carter, where do you get it at?
We have a website, Attorneys and Educators for Racial and Social Justice. You can also find me, the Carter Law Group, and you can call 303-501-1825. Any criminal questions you have, I'll be happy to help out.
There you go. And we appreciate you being here, man.
Thanks for having me.
So that's how we can get back to this new normal and get back out there into the world. Take care of each other. Take care of yourself. Follow the rules and stop licking the baskets when you go to the grocery store. And that will do it for this week's show. But before we get out of here, we're going to cue the Sesame music. This week's show has been sponsored by Open Space. Everything you need in one place. Open Space. Buy, sell, rent, or fix your next home or current home. Also sponsored by GSTI Biodefense, best biodefense and biosecurity systems for helping you detect or protect yourself from viruses and bacterias. And Jackie, if people want to get our show, where do they go?
It's easy, realestatereport.tv. You can check out all of our episodes. You can see the individual segments, the pocket listings, the what moves you, and those main stories. You can also leave us a comment about what you would like us to talk about. We'd love to hear from you.
And follow us on all of our social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All of them.
All of them.
Platform.
That's right. And since Sven said those like those were the first time he's ever heard that those social medias exist, please like us. Like us. Follow us on YouTube. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show. We will see you all next week.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
The world is changing, but the need for housing is not. Whether you're selling a home, buying a home, or needing a place until you decide, Open Space is here for you. Open Space makes safely managing your next home transaction easy. We all need a place to call home, and the world is full of uncertainty. COVID kept us apart. Open Space is bringing us back together. Stronger, safer, smarter.